Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show, the Monday edition. It's another happy hour here. I tell you, we've been fighting for clean water for the last 4 or 5 years. We know that the water was contaminated and for years, and we were ignored. It is unthinkable that after the Flint crisis, another majority black community must go through this. We cannot let this happen to another black community ever again. We must make sure that people understand how important it is to stand up and fight back, because a lot of times people don't understand exactly what is going on. You see, the Benton Harbor Community Water Council, I want to salute you today because you have went beyond the call of duty. You have made the federal government, Biden and his crew mad. You have made the state governor, Whitmer, and her crew mad. And you have made the mayor of Benton Harbor, Marcus Singer, mad because they didn't want to do and repair the pipes. They had no intention of doing this. But the Benton Harbor Community Water Center, we have taken a lot of heat. They have tried to criticize us on every level. But okay, that's fine with me because I can fight them all. See, I know what to do and what not to do. I know how to deal with these people. I know what they're capable of doing. I know that they will plant drugs on you. They will raid your house. They will do anything to dismantle you. Matter of fact, just recently they planted an article in the Herald Palladium newspaper. Everybody knows what the Herald Palladium newspaper is really all about. Everybody know that. You see, they know it's a bunch of garbage. You see, it's a fascist newspaper. That's exactly what it is. They lied and claimed that someone took water from the tub and, well, that wasn't on the Benton Harbor Community Water Council, but they didn't know that. You see, their brain cannot compute that, you know, that has nothing to do with us, you see. But unfortunately, the public don't know. So that's how they try to attack you. They try to attack you by stuff you don't know. And believe me, black folks don't know. They do not know. They had no idea that they were being poisoned. They had no idea. You know, their intentions were, let's not tell the black folks that you're being poisoned. We have the Sambo. We'll work with him, give him a few dollars underneath the table, and he'll do anything. You see, the Sambo man will do anything for a few dollars. Now that he'll even betray his own family for a few dollars, and that's what he's been doing. You see, and I'm really, really ashamed of the minister. I'm ashamed, you know. I'm ashamed to even call him my friend because he know how this guy, you can listen to him talk and know that he's a traitor, that he's a Sambo. That's all you have to do is listen to him. And I know the minister got wisdom. You know, I know he know better. I know he know what's going on. I know this. But yet has not said a mumbling word. Nothing. Has not said a word. We don't even know how many lives this mayor had destroyed. We don't know. We don't know how many people kidneys has been affected by this. That's on dialysis right now. Kidney disease. We don't know that. Liver disease. We don't know that. Heart disease. We don't know that. Brain disease, and how it have attacked our children. Some of these children around here shooting up and don't even know why they shoot. But yet and still, you got people who sit around and do nothing and allow these people to get away with it. And I always say this, and to me this is important. This is very, very important. If I owned a barbershop, I would not cut this guy hair. I would not cut Ron Singleton hair. I would not cut Dwayne Cease's hair, Ison's hair, Jerry Edwards' hair. That's a Jerry Edwards. I wouldn't let my Clippers touch his head for many, many reasons. And then you have Henderson. You have these people who do not care about the black population. And only thing they care, they're unable to think for themselves. They have to do what Whirlpool tells them to do, or else. This is just their way of thinking and how they should do things. You see, if I owned a grocery store, I would not sell them groceries. I would not do it. You see, regardless, I would not do it. Because somewhere you have to draw the line in the sand. You have to say no more. You have to say, I'm not doing this. And I'm not doing this for this reason. You see, you got to have a reason that justifies yourself not selling them food. You see, he have children. He don't care about his children. His wife said it. She said she's a single parent. I'm a single parent. I have to take care of all my children by myself. You see? And she really don't act a lot of them. But yet and still, he can't do it. You think he's going to do something for you and your children and won't do it for his own children? I got a problem with that. You see, the Benton Harbor Community Water Council, the public is listening. Not just here in Benton Harbor, but around the country. People are listening to the Benton Harbor Community Water. They want to know, how can we help them? You know, we got a big enough fight right here, fighting, trying to get clean water for the residents here in the city of Benton Harbor. But we will reach out and help you. If you reach out to us, I promise you, we will help you. We'll give you the formula. There's a formula we're dealing with evil, wicked white folks, the evil empire. There's a formula. And what we have to do, we have to operate within that zone. We cannot operate in a zone that we know nothing about. Fortunate to be educated enough to know how to deal, with the state and the federal government. Or, see, the city of Benton Harbor Electric, they're small potatoes. They don't know nothing. They just barely know their name. You see? Yeah, those are your brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts, all this stuff. That's, you know, and they're trying to kill you. That's what they're doing. They're trying to kill you and make you pay. Now, why would you have someone paying an additional 10% every July 1st for water? Why? And you know the water is contaminated. Even now that the Benton Harbor Community Water Council have got 77% of all the lead pipes in the city of Benton Harbor replaced, you cannot drink this water. Don't drink the water until the Benton Harbor Community Water Council give you the okay. They don't care about you. We do. We are willing to make, oh, it's been a challenge. Oh, they have called me all kind of names. You'd be surprised what they're saying, because they can't stand the thought of a black man with the knowledge and wisdom and the courage to fight against them and win. We are tearing their butts up. We're tearing them up. Everywhere they turn, we have these little meetings. They don't even want to have a meeting. This is how they operate. But we ain't got to have the meeting. You know, that's just another black man. You know, we can neutralize him. And then they tried. First, they took the forklift. so we couldn't unload water and then call the media, then put water on the curb, claim that we did it, knowing that we didn't. You see, this is what they do, try to cut us off financially, failed to do that, and we kept rolling. So the public is listening to the Benton Community Water Council, and they are working hard to discredit us and intimidate us. But we have the louder voice. Our voice is louder, more united than all the governor assistants that they have. Because people know that the only thing that we are concerned about is clean, safe water for the residents of Benton Harbor. That's it. That's all. Only thing that we are concerned about is that the residents of Benton Harbor have clean, safe water. You see, this hit a nerve with these are preachers. They're not ministers. They're not pastors. They're just a group of preachers who out here preaching. Now, remember that the devil can preach. Matter of fact, the devil cannot preach all these preachers. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The devil knows God's word better than these preachers because they're not God, people of God, you see. But here's the thing. The ministers in Benton Harbor do not know the word of God. Shame on you who call yourself a pastor. You're a preacher. That's what you are, a preacher. Up there just yoking. That's what you're doing. You're yoking. You know, you're not up there preaching God's word. You're yoking, you know, as they say. What are you doing? You're yoking. You know, you got to be a lover of life enough to struggle for progress. Everyone's future depends on it. Remember this. You got to be a lover of life enough to struggle for progress. Everyone's future depends on it. You know they're going to come after you. Because they know that you are intimidated by this. They know you're intimidated. Yes, they do. They know that you are intimidated. They know. See, we suffer from all forms of inequality and injustice, and especially in health care, that a doctor will want to take care of you and cure you. But not so. Not so. Here, we have the highest rate of infant mortality than anywhere in the nation. They don't care. And most of the people are not educated enough to understand how to fight these people off. You have to know how to fight these people off. Because that's what they do. They're here not to help you. They're here not to help you, you see. But when they see a person, especially a black man, who has the wisdom, the knowledge, and the courage to stand up to them, they will come after you. They will. Because they know it's not many. They know that it is not many black people who will eyeball white people. Black people are tough when it comes to other black people. If you step on a black person's toes, you're about to get shot. And he's walking around with a size 18 shoe with a white foot up his butt and not saying a mumbling word. That's right. It is a strong possibility that if you step on a black person's toes, you have a great chance of getting shot. You have a great chance of getting shot. Unbelievable. So go back to the water. because we know that the water is contaminated. We know that it's been contaminated. Why do you think St. Joe, a city that's 99% Caucasian, European, whatever you want to call them, the city of St. Joe, 99% also Caucasian, and then you have Benton Township, probably about 60% Caucasian, all leave your water supply, and they got good water, and you got bad water. And the thing that's important that a lot of people don't see is that when black people do things, they try to brush it aside. The first thing they say, they don't know what they're talking about. So what if there's a little lead in the water? He must have put it in the water. Because black people don't know that. This is how they think. And then they get a couple of the samples, the black samples, to co-sign for them, you see. And then what they do they use the sample to attack, you see. So this justifies everything. It's not just white folks saying it. It's black folks and white folks. But these ain't black folks, these samples. They're samples. A sample is a sample. Okay, how you look at it? Matter of fact, I'm going to go as far as say he was born a sample. You see, you just don't turn to be a sample overnight. You have to have it in you to be a sample. That's right. You have to have it in you to be a sample. Did we learn anything from the Black Holocaust? From 1619 to 1861, more than 15 million Africans were sold into slavery. Over 35 million was killed by the slave traders, making it the greatest Holocaust the world has ever known. That's right, making it the greatest Holocaust the world has ever known. Let me read that again, because I know it's important, and I know that, you know, we don't get things right away. You know, the white folks have to say stuff in order for black folks to get it. But the Black Holocaust from 1619 to 1861, more than 15 million Africans were sold into slavery. More than 15 million Africans were sold into slavery. Over 35 million was killed by the slave trade, making it the greatest Holocaust the world has ever known. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about that. You know, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. We don't know because we're afraid to get too much information. Because if we get the information, listen to this. If we get the information, we have to almost do something about it. Don't get that. You know, as long as they can say, I don't know, or I didn't know that was occurring, they don't have to do nothing in their eyesight, which is wrong, you see. We have to make sure that we're doing all the things that we need to do for the future of our children. You see, it's all about our children. See, we got to have a foundation for them to grow. And until we start doing that, it's going to continue just like it is. We have no idea how bad things are going to be. They have gotten us thinking it's all about us. It's all about Reverend Pinkney. It's all about you, you know. No. It's about the future of our children. You see, that's where we have to put ourselves. That way we won't take a bribe. That way we won't be classified as a sample. That way, we will stand up because we know what's at stake here. And We could never underestimate the power of stupid people. That's why they attack the education system. That's why they attack the education system. They don't want you to learn critical thinking. They don't want you to learn that. They want you to be who you are. That's why they, that's how they was able to attack us with this contaminated water. I tell you this, one day, many, many people will hang their head in shame when they realize the evil they defended and the heroes they ridiculed. God knows. You see, God knows. We're good people, but they have made us almost into a dying generation of people. We're good people. Black folks is good people. I remember how loving and caring we were. Somebody gets sick, everybody goes to the house and help. Needed money, everybody chip in. Nowadays, you got to protect yourself against everything. We're in a mess right now. We are in a mess right now. We have to learn to stay focused and deal with reality. Because this is a very serious matter. You see, they never expected a Reverend Pinckney to be back. They sent me to prison. Yes, they did. For quoting Deuteronomy 28, starting with the 14th verse. They sent me to prison for that, saying it was a threat on the judge's life, knowing that it was a lie. But they can get away with lies with black people when white folks say something, black folks believe it. They believe garbage that they say. You see, they said that I threatened this judge's life with a quote from the Bible. Is that not the most ridiculous thing you ever heard of? They got away with it. They sent me to prison for 3 years. I was fortunate to get on an appeal bond, but I still had to go to prison. It was overturned, but I still had to go to prison. See, do you get this? They still got what they was out to get. You see? And not one single pastor here in the city of Benton Harbor stood up and said that was wrong. I had the Catholic Church to stand up for me. The Vatican wrote me a letter. The Vatican. The Vatican wrote me a letter. They sent an amicus brief for me. The Southern Baptist Church sent an amicus brief for me. We had about 20 amicus briefs saying that that was not a threat. But unfortunately, I was fortunate that the whole world stood by my side. The whole world. When it was time for me to get sentenced, more than 5,000 letters came from around the world to help me. They could not believe what was going on in Barron County, Michigan. You see, they tried to demonize me for quoting a scripture, and they utilized these preachers around here to make it work. Never heard of anything like this before. But this is what they do. You see, they said Pinckney will never, ever, ever, ever be back. See, they thought that they had buried me. They knew how much money I had. They knew how much the lawyer was going to cost. They knew that I was going to spend as much as possible on a good lawyer. And that way they would drain me. They did everything in their power to neutralize me. Everything. There's nothing that they had in mind to do that they didn't do because they're in power. Just like the evil Roman Empire something, the evil empire. That's what they represented. They represented the evil, wicked empire. That's why they're able to get away with stuff today. Black folks ain't scared of black folks, but black folks are scared of white folks because they work together against a black person. They don't even have to like a black person. They don't even have to like a white person. But they will work with him against you. And just recently, let me hit on this real fast. They sent me to prison once again after that victory was overturned. You see, thank God I had the resources to fight. This time they sent me to prison for a recall petition, which they knew that there was no such charge. Now what I'm fighting, if they're saying there's no constitutional violation to send someone to prison when there's no such charge, that's what they're saying. And it's going to take a miracle. God is going to have to step in and maybe cut off their foot and hand and tie their tongue. God is going to have to step in and say, wait a minute. You got it down right here that you cannot steal someone's liberty. But now you're saying you can do it if they're a black person. That's what they're saying. They knew that there was no such charge as forgery on the recall petition. They knew that. They knew that there was no such charge on a recall petition as forgery. That's right. They knew it. But here's the good news. I knew it too. You see, most of the time, black people don't know. But I knew. You see, that's why they're always coming after me, because they're afraid that I'm going to educate the community. You see, I do. I use the term stick and move, though. I give you the information. And what you do with that information is on you. I told the world there was no such charge as forgery on a recall petition at that time. There was no such charge. There was no such charge as recall, as a forgery on a petition. No. I knew it. They knew it, but yet and still, they figured we can steal time from that young man. And all we have to say that there was no constitution violation. We don't have to say anything else. And then we use the media to play on it. We use the media to play on that. We'll tell them that it was a technicality rather than the truth. The public would buy it because it's coming from the media. And we'll spread it out like that, that it was a technicality more than anything else. There is no such charge as a forgery on the recall petition. Now they have the Pinckney law that they put into operation just for me. And I respect that. Now you can go to jail for forging the name on somebody's thing. But I didn't do it. They knew I didn't do it. But if they said I did it, they can get an all-white jury and then say I did it. And boom, there it is. There it is. Boom, there it is. That's what they're talking about, you see. But fortunate for me, that the Supreme Court ruled that there was no such charge as forced relevant recall petition. But now we got the lower court saying there was no constitutional violation, which is unheard of. But they will get away with it because that's what they do. That's what they do. That's what they do. And they're going to continue doing the same thing over and over and over again. Because they're going to be able to get away with it because they got a few samples that they're working with. But nobody in their right mind will say putting someone in prison when there's absolutely no charge, and they would not say, they would have to say that that is a constitutional violation, no matter what. That is a constitutional violation, whether we like it or not. It is. But let me, I'll get back to that because I think this is important. Because what they're doing now, they can take you off the street and put you in jail and claim that there's no constitutional violation and get away with it. They can do that and get away with it. Unfortunately, we're not strong enough to have to deal with them. They control everything. The evil empire controls everything. Well, let me hit on this real fast. I want to talk about the Sambo of the Year award, which is so important because what we're doing now, we're identifying all the Sambo, well, not all of them, but a certain group of Sambos. That's what we're doing right now. We're identifying the Sambos right now so people will know who they are. And we're doing it by name. You know, we're not just talking. You know, we're talking the talk and walking the walk. So make sure that people understand how serious this matter is. Because it is serious. It's for the future of our children. You know, it's for the future of our children. That's what this is all about. You see, when we talk about the future, we're talking about right now. And we're talking about building upon this. And we got to build upon the future for our children. So that's why the Sambo of the Year award is so important. We're not letting nobody off the hook. If you hurt our children, we're coming for you. Okay, let me get the voting together, which is so, so important. While I've been on, there have been people voting. The first one is Marcus Singer, the mayor. He's at 1,047. That's Marcus Singer, the mayor. Then we have Dwayne Seitz. He's, oh, wow. He's up to 650. All right, so you gave him some love yesterday. That's huge. I like it. And I want you to keep giving these guys love so they can know exactly where they're at because it's crucial. It's crucial that we give these people some love because we can't let them off the hook. We didn't have a lot. There's more people than voted for the Sambo of the Year award than any election in the city of Benton Harbor. Already, we only been going for 3-4 days. Amazing. Then we have Ron Singleton. He's a commissioner. He's at 641 votes. Wow. He's on the move. Give Ron Singleton some love out there. He deserves it. Give him some love. He needs it. Then we have Mulatta Seitz. We have her here. And she's at 629 votes. She's in fourth place. Give her some love. Give Marletta Seeks some love. Give her some love. Come on. She deserves it. These shambles got to be called out. And y'all doing a magnificent job. I mean, y'all have voted. More people have voted for the Shamble of the Year Award in this short period of time than have voted for a mayor or anything else. He got more votes for a Shamble than he got for the mayor. Unbelievable. Then we have Judge Mayfield. Now, a lot of y'all probably don't know her because she's hidden at the courthouse. She's hidden over there, you know. And she's at 625 votes as of now. 625. And then we have the chief of police. I am shocked. I'm surprised that black folks are maybe a little nervous. But I need you to give that man some love. Dan McGinnis, he deserves some love. Come on. I don't like it. I don't like it. He's at 611 votes. Wow. But it's, you're getting up there. More people have voted for the Sample of the Year Award than voted for the mayor to be mayor. Double his total. So I'm going to hit this real fast. The mayor, Marcus Singer, has 1,047 votes, followed by Dwayne Seeks with 650 votes, followed by Commissioner Ron Singleton at 641 votes. Then we have Marletta Seeks at 629 votes, and Judge Mayfield, 625 votes, and Chief McGinnis with 611. It's tight. It's tight. But it's important that we get a chance to call all these Shambles who they are. If you're a Shamble, you're a Shamble. Don't think about that. Think about your children. Listen, I got to move on. I got to bring in my guest. The one and only is only one of him, so we want to make sure that we're doing all the things that we need to do, and making it happen, because that's what this is all about, you know. And we're gonna keep it that way. We're gonna make it happen, and keep it moving, and then let me bring in the one and only. There's only one of this young man. There's only one doctor. There's only one doctor here in Benton Harbor that I would trust with my life, and that's the one and only Dr. Donald Tynes. Dr. Tynes, talk to me.
Yeah, thank you, Reverend Pickney. I think it's so important the work that you're doing, even from the health standpoint, where you told people put the water in the shade, keep it in the house, keep it in the basement, keep it out of the sun. So it's not being cooked in the hot weather that's getting ready to come back again in terms of the bottled water. I think it's great. And we have to keep the people history correct. The history is that it was through your efforts with the Benton Harbor Community Water Council and a young man named Leonard Flemings that Detroit News brought this to the forefront. You know, this once you were aware in 2018, you started to sound the horn like Noah back then, but many wasn't listening, and it took, you know, several years before the 2021 before people actually heard it, and then you got the confirmation, but the EPA heard you loud and clear and worked with you, and Jennington Jennings heard you and worked with you. You know, it's a shame that Morgan & Morgan, you know, tried to do the same thing like in Flint, where they tried to take advantage of the people and where they would get 70% of the settlement and the people only get 30%, but I'm glad that you fired Morgan & Morgan and they're no longer representing the people of Benton Harbor. So Morgan & Morgan does not represent the people of Benton Harbor when it comes to the lead issue, and that, you know, they got to turn to Jennings & Jennings and to the Benton Harbor Community Water Council so they correctly signed up with people. And, you know, that being said, that there's some teaching points here that we have to do. That this might be a little bit hot for some people, but you said there's children, that we got to save the children. So therefore, I'm not going to hold back on what we need to tell the children. And the children I'm going to focus on, you know, I'm working on the trying to restore the old Florin Funeral Home to make it a homeless boy shelter, because the boys are overlooked. You know, we have many women shelters, girls shelters, and shelters for women and children, but we don't have anything for the boys. And I wanted to hit for all of us men that we need to, as men, as fathers, as husbands, and as families, that we need to teach our young boys to be men before the world teaches them how to be women. We must teach our young boys to be men before the world teaches them how to be women. Because all the attacks now are to destroy the black family, and we must come together on that. We must come together on unity. Now, you have to understand this. Pay attention. The only difference between a Puerto Rican, a Dominican, a Jamaican, a Haitian, a Cuban, is the bus, is the boat stop that they got off on. Let me say that again. The only difference between somebody from Puerto Rico, from the Dominican Republic, and from Haiti, and from Jamaica, and from Cuba, is the boat stop that they got on. The enslaved Africans, wherever they got dropped off at that port, that's the only difference. So the African American, the descendant of enslaved Africans, is genetically, culturally, identically linked with the Puerto Rican that's black skin, the Dominican that's black skin, the Jamaican that's black skin, the Haitian that's black skin, the Cuban that's black skin. And in America, Mequista means mixed. And that was the Olmec Empire, which now on the other side of Texas that we call Mexico. That meant mixed because what was over there was the African who had ran away and mixed with the native people. And the native people you call American Indians, and those were the people called the mix. And that mix is Mexico of African and Indian. And so it's just it's not our location, but it's our destination. It's not our location, it's the destination. And that destination has to be unity, that we have to come together, be unified. See, and I need you to pay attention, that every time we become unified and get on the doorsteps of change, a women's issue will come forward. And so what I'm going to tell you, that during the Civil Rights Human Rights Movement, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, that they brought in distracting movements. Dr. King went to the white leaders and told them, who were supposed to be pro-civil rights, and that, and said, what I need for you to do, what we need for you to do, my white brothers and sisters, is go into the white community and preach this message. The white people said, ooh, Dr. King, you know what? We support your stand on Vietnam, and we're going to help you fight Vietnam. They would not go in their own homes and their own communities to fight for human rights for the descendants of enslaved Africans. They would not go into their own community to fight for human rights for the African American. Instead, they went to Vietnam. They left the civil rights movement and went to Vietnam. Then the next attack was the whole women's movement. And our educated, foolish women, our educated black foolish women, joined a women's movement that was a movement to get white women's jobs. Our black women, who were so victimized mentally, so broke down, were so unintelligent, that they joined a women's movement to destroy the black family to get white women's jobs, when black women were working 2 and 3 jobs and didn't have enough time to spend with their children. Now, the other thing that we have to look at when we look at our black women is that now the whole issue of Roe versus Wade has nothing to do with the black woman. So any black woman who's involved in that is foolish. Any black woman involved in this whole discussion is foolish because, number one, you've been raped since you got here. Number one, black women have been raped since they got here. And the number one perpetuator of death towards black women and towards black men were white women. When you go and look at the works that you'll see in history, that they had to pass the Casual Killing Act to protect white women from going to jail, from beating slaves to death. The 1710 Casual Killing Act, look it up, Casual Killing Act, had to be passed to prevent white women from going to jail for killing the black slaves because the black slaves were considered property and the black women were being charged for destruction of property when they would overbeat the black men or the black women on that part. So the white woman's history is not the same as the black woman's history. The black woman is forgetting that the number two slave owner was the white woman. The number two slave owner in the United States was the white woman. The white woman always had the right to vote. The white woman always had the right to vote. The white woman always had the right to vote. The only time she could not vote is if she was not a property owner. The only time the white woman could not vote was when she was not a property owner. But if she owned property, she could vote. So the whole right to vote for women was a vote for broke women, for women who did not have property. That has nothing to do with the black woman. The black woman has to realize that her whole issue is what you spoke about is family, reuniting with the black family. Two women do not make a healthy black family. A healthy black family is going to be the lion and the lioness, whether you like it or not. And we need to protect our children, that we have to restore the family. Everybody else is working on their family but us. And that's the only way we have been separated, enslaved, and kept down is because we allowed them to come in the 70s and destroy the black family. The black woman, when it comes to abortion, the black woman has never really had control of her body. The white woman has always had control, and she has that choice. But the real goal is to protect the European-American population, which is about over 400 million. So the goal is to make sure that the majority of the babies that are aborted are white fetuses. So they need to cut down to try to build up their numbers. Now, what you have to look at your census report, and you will see that the census of the United States, when you come in, is still classified as black and white. So either you come in black or you come in white. And really, they don't allow you in the black because the Haitians try to come over here, and they were turned away at the border. They were chased with horses and whipped. But if you're white-skinned or Arab from Afghanistan, they'll try to give you $250,000 to come in and set up a business where they try to trick black people just to go for jobs. So immigrants get businesses, black people get jobs. Immigrants get businesses, black people get jobs. So they want to bring in the Afghan immigrant, classify him as white to build the white numbers up, and then he's going to be pro-white because he's getting this break to come in here. They're going to go to Ukraine and get those insane Ukrainians who is throwing black mothers and children off the trains and off the buses trying to get out, going to bring in them. They're going to be those racist whites against blacks because they already showed themselves in their home country, but give them $200,000 so they can set up businesses where they wouldn't even let the African Haitian in, the blacks and Haitian in. And then the Nigerians were trying to be so pro-British, pro-white, they're not even letting them in now. And so, but it's just that anyone who has the lack of melanin, a decreased amount of melanin, they can come in, be classified as white, and then they trick you that once you're in, then they'll let you talk about your little ethnic groups. But all Arabs, all Asians, all Middle Easterns, whatever you want to call them, they are classified as white. They are classified as white. So it breaks down on those color lines, and we don't have the benefits after 400 years of working and making everybody else rich. we don't have the benefit of being enriched. And so now we have to look that we have to focus on building our own businesses, our own communities, and you cannot use people who have been mentally injured and who are pro other people, pro other races, pro other colors, that you're going to have a focused approach. It's going to have to be a family approach, I love me approach. We're not talking about hating anybody. We're not talking about discriminating against by anybody. We're just talking about loving self, loving your people, loving who you are. You cannot do Juneteenth unless you know you have a cultural connection. You cannot do Juneteenth without libations, African tradition. You cannot do Juneteenth without African drums. You cannot do Juneteenth without African clothing. You have to give up the European costume and wear traditional clothing for Juneteenth, for Black History Month. So the people who are doing these programs have no connection to their identity because they have been broken down and have low self-esteem and therefore want to be something that they're not. And I had to speak to a...
Wow, that was huge. We lost the doctor just temporarily, but I tell you this much, we're in a real crisis here, and we got to stay focused, you know. And let me hear from a good friend Annette for a few minutes and see where she at. Annette, talk to me.
Yes, good morning.
Well, it's morning out here on the West Coast. Okay. You know, I really enjoy the doctor when he come on. It is just so mesmerizing just listening to the information that he actually shares. And because I have been on such a journey myself, it helps me to connect a lot of dots that are missing and that are hidden. Again, one of the things that he's saying, and this is very, very true, please, everyone, please Google the Davis Brothers Lumber Company, Ansley, Ansley. Please click on the Open Corporate page. On the Open Corporate page, click on the Registry page, where you want to see the secretary for the state of Louisiana is saying he is the survivor. The state is the survivor of a black-owned family business. And this is what we're saying. If you're having a very successful family business, and our forefathers did this for us, which are the children, for it to have been taken, stolen, and to continue, again, now this is very, very wide open. There are 600 journalists, went to 117 countries, 14 financial institutions, and Congress on YouTube, Congress examined $32 trillion hidden Pandora Papers. Now, again, these figures are actually coming out of the IRS. They're coming out of Congress. The documents are coming out of the state of Louisiana that is clearly fraudulent, that has clearly taken away from black families, black farmers, black preachers. And I cannot begin to tell you how caught up I was in the spiritual, it was just a joyful time that I actually embraced with my forefathers on yesterday. It was 134 years of our church, New Prosperity Baptist Church, Clay, Louisiana. And here we are 134 years later. When I hear you talk about for our children, I can see them and hear them and making these transactions. And they were saying, this is for our children. So we are the children. And who are we not to get what our forefathers and mothers, what they worked, they died, they invested. Again, they were so intelligent. It was, again, no one had lack. And when we understand it is about organizing ourselves and coming together, like Dr. Tyne just said, about us loving us as a people, where we're not anti anything else, we just pro black, and we want all these other cultures. That's what Foreign Friday is about. Foreign Friday is to all these other ethnic groups that we support, where we go into their stores and their shops and use their merchandise. This on Fridays for you to show, put your money where your mouth is. And again, we are going to be organized in such a way, we may go over here to this hair weave place, but we're not going to that hair weave place. We may go to this Chinese restaurant, but we're not going to that Chinese restaurant. We may go to this Mexican, you know, food, or go to get your tires, or, but we're not going over there. So when you are actually, like you say, calling out Sambos, and they all color of the rainbow, all the Sambos are all colors of the rainbow now. It's not just us and our community, because whenever you mistreat our community, no matter what color you are, and let me make sure that we understand this very clearly, you put your money where your mouth is. If these Orientals and Asians and Hispanics and all these other ethnic groups are not supporting the black community, it's very upsetting to me. I can go from city to city to city to city, and I see that the Mexicans actually have more stations than the white people have out here on the West Coast on the free TV. But if you want to actually see people of color, then you would have to pay for that. That's on some paid station. So why is it that, again, you're having people who can be able to make their dollars go around 22 times before it leaves out of the community? And in the black community, it is actually left before it got to you. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you. Please, everyone, go on the Davis Brothers Blow the Whistle. Really, go get you some whistle. This is very important, because when you are out there marching for clean water, you need to be blowing the whistle. If you're out there blowing the whistle for the Davis Brothers, or whoever you are blowing the whistle for, at your job or at a restaurant or being mistreated at a car dealership, let everybody know and blow the whistle. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney, for your service and your platform.
We really, really enjoyed Dr. Tyne today. He was on a roll.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a very, very busy man. He's at work. And he's just a tremendous character that, you know, that you'd be proud to know. And you know how black folks don't want to give him no love, but give Dr. Tyne some love.
Yes,
where y'all,
yes,
I said, y'all give Dr. Tyne some love. And then I also got to say my Sambos, give them some love. They deserve some love. Give them Sambos some love. And, you know, and people be holding back, but I'm telling you, these boats is coming in so good. It's scaring me. I love it. Let's get these Sambos moving, and let's make sure things are going there. And look, give them Sambos some love, would you? Please give them some
love. Sambos of all the rainbow.
We ran out of time. Thank everybody for listening, and don't we give them...